Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I mean, emotional, right? Because it's kind of like you can't believe it's what we're discussing. To me, it's tragic in some ways because of the injuries. You know, it's a surreal moment.
The Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast, presented by Connors and Ferris. Mike Catalano with a veteran day off, a grandpa day off.
Yep.
Dan Fates joining me. I am Jenna Cottrell.
You're back.
I'm back. Yes.
Mike's gone. Sorry, everybody.
Hashtag vacation season.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you're stuck with me out of all of these podcasts. Don't worry, I'm going on vacation next week.
I was to say, I'm sure people will have a comment about it. But
yeah, we're all getting our reps in.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well take advantage of the off-season mode. And with it being the off-season, please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, as well as share the channel. Of course, we have so much content that we're talking about. Another week, another podcast from Buffalo Plus. This time we're talking about what we've heard at the NFL owners meetings that are going on down in Orlando. So Brandon Bean there, Sean McDermott there as well. And I think this is really an opportunity for the Bills during this part of the offseason to get to hear from these Bills brass. You know, obviously there was the combine a little bit earlier on this offseason, but now we're kind of in that mode. The draft is a month away.
Yeah.
1 month away.
Well, it was weird too, because these owners meetings, we've never been to them.
No, we have not.
I think we're going to make a pitch
next year. Orlando looks, in March or wherever it'll be next year.
Yeah, it looks terrible. Our friend Matt Beauvais is there.
Yeah,
he's really slumming it.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for both.
But it's funny because we felt like we were just hearing from Bean and McDermott at the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's right before free agency. And
yes.
So now you're hearing from them. Post free agency, which is a massively different perspective. We've pretty much seen press releases, clips, agent talk. We haven't really heard from the coach and the GM about the decisions they made. And I thought that what we heard this week, or what we heard over these last two days, was very telling.
I thought it was very interesting too, because when we heard from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at the Combine, they talked about, you know, very general things about free agency, whatever. Now hearing from them this week, they talked about how in this free agency period, defensive tackle was something that they were really trying to bolster. Obviously, you're not going to give that away when you're heading into free agency.
Yeah.
But I think it's from their perspective, it's like, oh, wow. So this to me says, you know, this is a priority for Buffalo. This past weekend, they signed Austin Johnson to bring in more of another guy that obviously has a connection to Daquan Jones. But that to me, I was like, oh, okay. But there was other things said.
Yeah.
And Sean McDermott, we saw emotion out of McDermott, especially when he was asked about Trey White and the decision by Buffalo to cut him.
Yeah, I think we'll get to the signings and some of the moves they made, because we heard from them. We heard them talk about the Curtis Samuel signing. Now that was the first time we heard about that. But you're right. They also had to address the moves that they made, and what they described it as. Sean McDermott described it as losing the pillars of their organization at times, with Poyer gone, with Mitch Morris, with Trey White, and all of those things. And look, Mitch Morris was a big part of their success in winning the division titles they have over the last few years. Poyer was part of the person that built up this process and turned them from a laughingstock and the playoff drought to where they are now. But Trey White was Sean McDermott's first ever draft pick. And it really was his first pick. People confused that with it saying it was Brandon Bean's. Brandon Bean wasn't a part of that team yet. And while they were all tough decisions, Sean McDermott was asked on Monday how difficult that conversation was with Trey White. And here's what he had to say.
Oh, man. Emotional, right? Because it's kind of like you can't believe it's what we're discussing. And, you know, eventually it's going to come just because of the lifespan of an NFL player, but it came way too early in my mind, right? And I'm sure in his mind as well. It's to me, it's tragic in some ways because of the injuries. And had not the injuries occurred, who knows where his time in Buffalo would have taken him and us. I think he's one of the best defensive backs to ever play in Buffalo. I really believe that. He's all class all the time, and he works his tail off. And he's one of the best human beings I know, from what he came from and how he's not only lifted himself up, but lifted his family up, and the way he's lifted our team up over the years. It's just, to me, a very unfortunate situation with the injuries. And anyway, sorry to, you know, it's sad to see him go. It really is, him and his family. I mean, he got injured in the Miami game. A number of us went over to his house after the game, and what do you say, right? I mean, especially after he had just went through it the year before, what do you say? And there's nothing you can say other than just try and be there for him. And that's how I felt when we were having our conversation was, you know, it's a surreal moment.
Yeah, tragic and surreal.
You don't hear those words often.
No, and listen, Sean McDermott gets plenty of stuff from the fan base, and rightfully so. The dude cares. And and when you hear that, again, we've talked about this channel. We've talked to the players in the locker room. It's like their relationship with fans. Deion always has kind of joked and poked fun at Bills Mafia. And I get it. I'm a diehard Braves fan. Like, the season's about to start and I'm going to be on edge. And when somebody strikes out in a big spot, I'm going to be like, oh, I hate that player. Like, what's the thing? There are people. And you get to see that side every once in a while on the tough side of the business. But that answer from Sean McDermott to me was just very telling. And it was the last answer. It was the last question he took. You could see him trying to almost get through it, which I thought was very telling.
To me, that is someone that has meant so much off of the field.
Yeah.
To Sean McDermott, to Buffalo, and to have two out of the last three seasons, him have a season ending injury, and to know how hard that guy worked to get back and then tearing the Achilles. I think for Sean McDermott, we forget that this is a business, or we forget that there's the human side of this business, I should say.
Yeah.
And I think for Sean McDermott, what I glean from him talking about it, though, is, you know, Trey White has obviously had other visits. He's visited with the Raiders. You know, I don't know if his career in Buffalo will be this upcoming season, if it's going to continue, if the Bills are going to bring him back in any capacity, if Trey White would take a pay cut, whatever. But I feel like I could see Trey White maybe after this season, and maybe this is just me playing into the emotions of it, but I think for the Bills, what Trey White meant and hearing Sean McDermott's answer, it really puts into perspective how much they love him and they respect him as the guy.
And also, it was one of the things too, when Bean spoke on Sunday, they had the conversations. Like, I think people think maybe it's just the decision of a decision's made, we cut the player. Like, there's more that goes into it. Yeah. And Bean talked about, you know, Trey wanted clarity on what his future is and what his next steps were going to be.
Which is totally fair.
Right. And again, you're going into an off season. You're hearing everything that everybody else is talking about. And he was, you know, while he's recovering, he said before the combine, they were talking and he's like, where are we at? He's like, I don't know where the cap's going to be. All of these things, those decisions come up to where, hey, Bean said on two players, he hasn't closed the door yet. One was on Trey White and one was on Micah Hyde. We'll get to Mike in a second while we finish on Trey. But I think it's awfully tough where you have those conversations like, hey, we need a pay cut, or hey, we want to get some money back. We want some relief. Some of these things.
Yeah.
It's tough when you don't agree on that to then want to come back.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you completely. I also think Trey White wants to be a starter.
And absolutely.
And he's earned that, you know, in his career. And at the same moment, they have Rasul Douglas and they have Christian Benford. And at that moment, it's like, you know, for a guy to come back from an injury like that, it takes reps. It takes the experience. It takes getting back out there. And I just don't think that would really have the opportunity to come to fruition this season with the Bills. Now, if Trey is like, hey, I'm okay making less money. I want to be, I can't see that being the case though.
And I
don't blame him. I would feel the same way.
And it goes back to the Rasul Douglas trade that you knew that was part of it.
Think about this. I was thinking about this on the way into work. Like, if you were to tell me Trey White would not be on the Bills this upcoming season 2 years ago, I'd be like, wow. If you were to say, hey, just to let you know, 3 years ago.
3 years ago, it's the ACL.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, the starting corners for the Bills would be Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. You'd be like, wait, what happened to Kyrie? What happened to Trey White? Like, you know, it is a reminder of the business side and how things are constantly evolving, always changing. And
yeah,
I mean, the NFL slows down for no one.
And I thought that's what stood out to me with Sean's answer by saying it tragic. Like, that, what if he stayed healthy? It was one of those moments where he's like, hey, what could have been if Trey just doesn't blow his Achilles? Like, let's just say, like, hey, he's playing better after the ACL, or after the ACL, he was starting to come out at the end of last season. Then he started playing really well in the beginning of the year. And it's like, okay, like, he's getting there. Like, we're recovering. And then to have that, and again, 29, 30-year-old cornerback that just isn't, the track record isn't great on that type of recovery. So you have to make those decisions. And again,
it's made even more sad by the fact that Trey really didn't battle injuries in his career.
Never.
It's really within the last 3 years that he's had these issues crop up, and there have been considerable injuries.
Yeah. Again, I don't see Trey coming back, because I think that the Bills have made their decisions on where they are moving forward in the secondary. And I think one of those decisions is, hey, these are our corners. Trey, we'd love to have you battle for the CB3 with Kyrie. Like, I just don't see that happening. I think Trey White is too good of a corner to have to battle in camp for something like that. So would I love it if he came back? Absolutely.
I'm curious what his market will be. Former first round pick. And then
former All Pro.
Yeah, and then the injuries. What that market will be, we will have to wait and find out. But we are recording this on Monday. Watch him sign somewhere like tonight.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock.
At 4:03 p.m. Well, let's talk about Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
Because I think we were all under the assumption, essentially, that since we have not heard about Micah Hyde, that, hey, he's retiring. You know, the Bills are moving on. Micah Hyde starting the second chapter of his life as an NFL retiree, all these things. And then Brandon Bean talked about how they're not going to shut the door on Micah Hyde. Now, that would have to be that Micah Hyde wants to come back to Buffalo, all these things. But I think you see it the same way. If Micah Hyde is coming back, he's playing for the Bills. And if he's not, he's not playing.
He ain't come back.
I mean, that's fair. I honestly, when he said that, I was like, oh, I thought the decision essentially had already been said, or had already been done and not said.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's Brandon Bean's way of essentially protecting the decision made by Micah Hyde. So Micah Hyde could be the one to say it.
I think that's part of it. I think it's a little bit of politicking to be like, no, we'd have him back. Absolutely, we'd have him back. But, like, I don't think there's really a situation where he comes back.
I think the longer it goes on, the more
hey, breaking news. I've never been a pro athlete that has, like, had to have that decision to step away from the game. But I know there will, like, JJ Watts talks about it, that, like, there is sometimes, like, your body's so beaten up after a season, and then training camp, you're not really missing training camp because you're like, I don't want to do that grind anymore. But then, like, weeks 3 and 4, you're like,
oh man,
like, I kind of miss it. I kind of miss the locker room. I miss those vibes. Like, it was Fournette was that way.
Yeah,
this is like, yeah, I was happy at home. I was doing drop offs with the kids, and then all of a sudden, it's like, Bill's calling. What's up? Hey, how's it going? Who's to say?
I mean, that's so fair though.
Mike is in incredible shape. Who's to say there's an injury to the secondary, whether it's Taylor Rapp or somebody, that happens, and I hope that doesn't happen, but who's to say that you're not giving Micah a call to say, hey.
Who's to say, though, that they wouldn't just kind of do a snap count situation with Micah? Now, if you're Taylor Rapp, you're probably like, oh, okay. Yeah. But
neither of the signings to me were so impactful that you were like, this guy's a slam dunk starter. He's a pro bowler at this level. Like, Sean even talked about it, the fact of Mike Edwards. He's like, he's been a backup. He's like, we think there's more in there. And I think that's a testament to Sean McDermott and his coaching staff to think a little bit of that ego that's like,
Which you need.
I'll get this guy to be all like,
yeah.
Wait till he gets under my coaching. Spags is good and all, but like he didn't really unlock all of your potential. I got this guy. So again, I thought when my ears perked up instantly when he was like, hey, we haven't closed the door. No, and I was like, what? And then I thought about it and I was like, he ain't coming back.
I would at this point, I would be shocked if he came back.
Yes. But what would your percentage be of the odds of Micah Hyde coming back?
20.
Oh, that's high.
You think that's high?
Yeah, I think I was going to say like 5.
Oh, no.
All right.
I think 20 is still a low number.
All right.
That's like when you go and something's on sale and it's like, oh, it's 20% off. And then you go to the cash register and you're like, that was nothing. you're like, that did nothing for me. Thanks.
Yeah. It's my wife when she goes to Target and always needs the red card because you save 5%. I was like, but you saved 86 cents. Like, just let me pay for it. She's like, no, but I have the red card. And it's like, yeah, we're good. I'll pay it.
But you know what? It gets you through the door. So there's that. No, I hear you. Let's talk a little bit about Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. So Curtis Samuel to me is also encompasses a bigger picture of where this Bills wide receiver room is. And it's something that I guess is a little frustrating to me, Jenna, because Curtis Samuel, as I said before, I like Curtis Samuel. I'm happy he's on the Bills. He adds another weapon to, like I said, I thought Bean was very interesting when he talked about recruiting him out of Ohio State and researching him before the draft. He spent half of his time in the running back room. He spent half his time
in
the wide
receiver. Very interesting, yeah.
And he's like, you have to be smart. You have to be smart to be able to do that. All those things. So I don't really see Samuel as a running back. I don't really see him as a full wide receiver. Like he is got that gimmick gadget to him. But again, I don't think he necessarily changes this Bills offense and unlocks it into a new way that we haven't seen before.
I think you see the upside. He had his best season with Joe Brady. I think Brandon Bean obviously has that connection to him. I think you see what he can add. And I also think you see that's one thing you can add, but you need to add more.
Yeah.
And so when they signed Curtis Samuel, I kind of was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And who else? Who else are you going to get in the draft? What else are you going to do? How are you going to add another weapon or two for Josh Allen? So I thought it was a nice complimentary signing. I thought that you could still obviously do more, and I expect them to.
So the thing that's kind of upsetting, and I know...
Upsetting?
Yeah.
That's a strong word.
Irks me.
Okay, that's better.
We want to go with irk. This thought of like there's so many wide receivers.
Upsetting is so strong.
That there's so many wide receivers in this draft class. Like I'm just very adamant of a wide receiver in the first round. And I know there are a lot of people.
Oh, what if they trade back? Get their guy in round one. Yeah.
And I'm okay if they don't have their guy. But my thought of like, oh, well, you can get a wide receiver in any round. And then when this is the time of the year where everybody nitpicks what players don't do. And they say, you can't draft this guy in this round because he doesn't do this. And then they compliment everybody that's versatile. And I have a problem with versatility being your best trait. I want your best trait to be that you're a dominant player at something.
The Bills love versatility.
And that's fine for your wide receivers 3 through 5. I don't want versatility as a compliment for guys that are role players. I want my top guys to be studs, and I want them to have a dominant trait at some position. And my example is when people talk about, like, here's a baseball example. One of the best pitchers in baseball is the Braves pitcher, Spencer Strider. He throws 101 miles per hour. He has a fastball and he throws a slider. He has two pitches. Nobody's sitting there going, his changeup really isn't that good. It doesn't matter. He struck out the most people in baseball last year because of his fastball. Nobody cares about what he can't do. So when I look at some of these wide receivers and people go, well, he doesn't do this well. I don't want my first round wide receiver. He doesn't need to be a great blocker to me. I don't care what he doesn't do well. I want what he does do well to be game changing well. That's so when you see versatility, I feel like it's a knock that, like, hey, he does everything with a grade of B's across the board. That's great. I want a guy that has 3 A's, and if his run blocking isn't great, but he'll give effort, I'm okay with it if it's a C. I want a guy that has high-end, top-end talent.
Do you believe, though, that the Bills don't see that way?
I don't know.
You're not in the building. Sorry, call back.
That is. I guess that's where I'm looking at it. And I go, I know that you can get a wide receiver in rounds 2 through 7. There's no question about that. But I think there is a drop-off on game-changing wide receivers after like 5 guys. After that, there's a bunch of guys that are good. They're good. I don't think they're...
You want great.
I want game changers. I want guys that... And again, I know... Hey, here's another one too. I know you can find them in any round. But the more likelihood you have, in my opinion, is to find them at the top. Like, the best players, the best players. Brian Thomas Jr. I know people are like up and down on him. He doesn't do some things well at all. The things that he does well are run fast, be tall, and jump. Like, when you get to the NFL, you are going to play to your players' strengths. You don't talk about their weaknesses. You do what they do best. Like, oh, well, Josh isn't great on his second read. It doesn't matter. He's a mutant in every other category of the game. So you make up for that. That's where I'm looking for some of these guys, because I feel like the Bills wide receivers are all kind of similar. They all have some versatility. They all have some shake. They all have a little bit of, you know, those things like that. But when I look at some wide receivers, I was talking to a friend today and I was like, nobody cares that DK Metcalf doesn't line up in the slot.
I was going to say, I was thinking of him as when you talked about a guy that has like the physical traits, or like one trait that's really, he can run fast in a straight line. Like, he's that guy.
And that instills fear in defenders.
I agree.
And guess what? He doesn't need to run a curl or an out. He runs a slant and a go. And those are elite level skills. And when the play, when it's push comes to shove, and it's funny, you talk about like when the Bills signed Von Miller, they needed a closer. Right?
Yeah.
And a closer can make the pitch, baseball example, make the pitch when it matters most.
Clutch.
You only need a pitch or two. You don't need five. Closers don't have 5 pitches. Yes, Von Miller has a bunch of different moves and all these things. Now, there are elite, elite, elite level players. Stephon Diggs can do it all. Jamar Chase can do it all. Justin Jefferson. Like, those guys are called Hall of Famers. But I just want some of my top end guys that I think what the Bills offense is missing is some of those big play explosive dudes. And that's what I'd like to see out of the wide receiver.
Do you want to see them emphasize speed, or what do you want?
I think they have speed. I'd like a downfield threat.
They have a lot of like underneath, like,
yep. And that's fine. And like, I get it. And that defenses are taking all these things away. I understand both ways, both sides of the coin here, but I just look at it and I go, man, I'd like a guy that would just be a game changer and say, man, when a corner lines up next to him, damn, I'm in trouble if he goes. When Tyreek Hill lines up and they say, hey, oh shit, I'm in trouble if he goes.
I just think that's a bit of a smoke screen of them being like, we love versatility, all this stuff. That to me is what that says, because yeah, again, versatility is great, but that means that you don't have something that you jump off the page, excel at, and that is what you want. So I totally hear what you're saying. I just, sometimes when I hear that, I'm like, all right, it's March. The draft is a month away. I see them saying all of these things to essentially keep it so you don't know, are they going to go wide receiver in the first round? Would they possibly try to get a safety? Would they, what direction would they go in? But when I hear that, I say, look, versatility is nice. There is an advantage to having guys that can be versatile. But when you need a guy to change the game, like you are talking about,
right?
You want to have the DK Metcalf. You want to have someone that is faster than everyone, that is, can leap more than anyone, that is able to route run better than anyone.
And again, Tyreek Hill was a 5th or 6th round pick. Puka Nacua is one of those guys. Like, I know you can find them in other places.
Yeah, but that's not the standard. Like, those are great. Like, those are gems.
It's like when people say, like,
well, diamond in
you
the
can
rough.
Any quarterback in the 6th round can be a Hall of Famer. It's like, more often than not.
Well,
like, yeah, you did it once.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I come from. And what I always think about, you know, there's utility players in baseball because they're versatile. They can play every position, but they don't do any position well enough to be a starter. So you're a utility player. You're a 6th man in basketball. Would you want to? Oh, he's a great 6th man. Why isn't he in the starting lineup? Like, those are the kind of things where I get. Listen, I like Javon Baker if he's in the 2nd round from UCF. I like Troy Franklin. I like a lot of these guys. I'm just saying, this thought of like letting so many guys pass up because you can be like, well, you don't need to take a wide receiver in the 1st round. You don't need to. I just would like to have a guy, a dude, not just a guy.
I personally don't put much stock in what we're hearing about the versatility. I just feel like you would be silly not to. And again, later on in later rounds, if you want to get a guy that has more versatility, absolutely. Like you talked about,
yeah.
your three, your four, like your guys that are deeper on the depth chart, of course, for them to maintain a spot on the roster, they have to do a lot of things well.
I want to hear about versatility. Again, like I think about like Sauce Gardner. He doesn't need versatility because he's
outstanding.
He's elite at covering like the right side of the field. I can't remember what side he plays on, but he plays on one side of the field. He doesn't need to cover both sides because he's so damn good at the one side. He doesn't need to worry about anything else. So that's just one of my things when I hear like, I love that Curtis Samuel has versatility. I don't want the Bills draft pick in the first round that his biggest trait is versatility. I want him to be like, this dude is a problem.
But I think that's where you see what role they have in mind for him. When they talk about him having versatility.
Sure.
Maybe in the like return game, all that stuff too. They will value that.
And this goes back to like the whole point of this Bills offense is that you want a versatile offense. You want a balanced attack.
Amoeba.
Right? No, well, you want a balanced attack, right? Sean McDermott says you want to be able to be two-dimensional, right? You want to be able to run throw the ball. That's great. I would like to have, as I've said on this channel for years, I want to have a punch. I want to have what you do best. There are boxers out there that do a lot of things great and they can block and they have a good jab. I'd still take the guy that has Mike Tyson's right hand. That's what I want. I want a knockout punch. So that's where I go. You have to do something great. Offenses, you can do a lot of things good. What do you do great? That's what I want the Bills to focus on because being great can't just be Josh Allen. It can't. He's got to have a little bit more help to have other great players around him.
Agreed.
That's my point.
No, but that's why when Brandon Bean talked about having the emphasis on defensive tackle and adding guys like that, that to me says, okay, they're loading up in free agency and they're trying to do their part now so that they can do what they want to do next month. Do what you have to do now to address the roster and do what you want to do in the draft. And they want a weapon.
And I think they've done a really good job, especially at defensive tackle, filling in some of those. Brandon said he didn't feel like they have any, quote, gaping holes or massive needs heading into the draft. I think that's
what you need to do. And so you're in a good spot.
That's a lot of 1-year deals. Worry about defensive tackle long-term and another time. But like right now you have the flexibility. And again, if the Bills don't go wide receiver in the first round, I'm not going to riot, but I'm just saying they're like, you're still missing a explosive player that I don't care about.
I think fans would riot.
I don't care about. Well, I think there are some fans that they'd love another edge rusher or they'd like a safety or things like that. But it just goes to this, like, Gabe was pretty versatile. What he didn't do well was catch the football.
Gabe was also a later round pick. We're not talking about.
But again, I like my third and fourth round picks to be versatile. I like my special teamers to be versatile.
Because you need to be on the roster.
Yes.
With your first round pick, you should be on the roster for your talent in XYZ.
Yeah.
I hear you. I'm not going to get worked up because I feel like they are going wide receiver in round one. And if they don't, then at that time, I will readdress how I feel. But I'm not going to get pre-worked up about something when I do believe that they're going with wide receiver. And I think they're downplaying what they're doing right now and saying, hey, we need a versatile guy, you know, all this stuff, because they have a couple players in mind. And we've seen Brandon Bean on draft night too. He loves to move up a couple spots. Mm-hmm. He loves to do that. He gets antsy like all the Bills fans do. So I expect it to be wide receiver in round one. And if it's not that, come back to me. And I'm sure we'll have some words about it.
Yeah. We also just some other notes that I wrote down. We still don't know who's going to call plays on defense. Sean McDermott says still working.
Like,
I don't care.
They know. Like, if you're Bobby Babbage, you're not taking a job if you don't know if you're going to be calling plays. They know. They just have decided to make it incredibly cryptic. You men. I'm kidding. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, but there's no point in them saying it.
I get it, but I just, okay. Well, when people are like, oh, you don't, what do you think it is? It's like, they know, obviously, but they're just not going to tell it.
Other thing I thought was, being talked about putting Connor McGovern at center when they moved away from Mitch Morse.
Yeah.
It was, He said, we always thought that Connor could play center.
Yes, he has.
If and when needed to. He goes, he has the skills and the traits to play center. And he goes, quote, didn't know how early that would be. I'll call BS on that. I think when you sign Connor McGovern to that deal, and you don't think Bean doesn't go season by season.
Of course
he doesn't. He has said that he doesn't.
That is why it's also so important to draft a wide receiver with Stephon Diggs getting older and his contract aging.
As we've talked about, talk is cheap. Where you spend your money in the salary cap is what it says. We went back to last year draft capital. We all thought Spencer Brown was on his way out. He wasn't.
But they loved him.
Correct. Yeah. And it paid off though. But like, again, they said all these nice things. They've said all these nice things about Gabe. And they finally moved on from him. They said all these nice things about Devin Singletary. They eventually moved on from him. So I thought that
Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah. So when he said that, you know, Connor, we didn't know when it would be, you saw contracts lining up and going, yeah, this is, we can see if this goes one way, when we get to the fork in the road, if it's Mitch's one way and we can move Connor and cut Mitch.
I hear you, because they have to have a plan. I also don't know if when the decision was made of, I hear you. You have to be aware of that 100%. Going in. But I don't know if maybe they thought, hey, maybe we can work out other things and we'll have Mitch another season. He's not a guy that I was like, oh, they're definitely going to move on from him.
No.
And that's why I think maybe it is a timeline that's kind of moved up a little bit. But again, you have to be prepared for anything.
But I think it's also when we saw like the one common thread through these moves that they made was age. They made a constant effort to be younger.
Conscious. Sorry. Conscious.
To
get younger.
Yes. So, yeah.
They had one of the oldest rosters in the league.
Yes. So, those were some of the things that really stood out to me as we go through that.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that stood out to me. We talked about Trey. We talked about Micah. The decisions on Poyer and Mitch. Curtis Samuel. And just the emotion, I think.
Yeah.
That was something that, not to say I'm surprised, but sometimes we forget that there are really tough decisions to be made and also really tough conversations that have to be had alongside of that. So I think it's nice to also hear from Sean McDermott after this decision, because obviously it's a guy that means a lot to him. So very interesting.
Yeah, it was telling. I don't know. I think the players really like Sean. Maybe some fans don't want to hear that, how much they love that guy in that locker room. And
he got an A, right? They do like the end of the season.
Yeah, so that was before this. So it was before 9/11 comments and that whole story broke. Still, nonetheless, I still think that the way those players stood up for him, you know, Mike Edwards talked about, why did you pick here? And he said the culture. Like, why did you land in Buffalo? And he said the culture. So a lot of good. I still think the Bills are in really good shape heading into the draft. I don't think there's any massive needs. And shockingly enough, they're okay with the salary cap. I didn't think it was going to be possible.
I don't want to talk about the salary cap. Okay. I sound like a child. We've talked about it a lot. People, if you follow along, you know, Dan's mouthing something to me. I'm just going to talk about this. I know you do. I get it. I hear you. We all hear you.
Brandon Bean,
we're really happy for you.
Yeah. Brandon,
we're really happy for you, but we don't have to talk about it right now.
Like Bean saying, we've spent all the money that we saved making the cuts. That's crazy. I thought you had to save the money that you saved.
We're still talking about it. Yeah. Anything else?
So what we wanted to do, Mike and I were talking about doing a comment of the week.
Oh, okay.
So.
Wow. First I'm hearing about it.
I thought you listened to the pod when you're not.
No, I did.
This was at the end. We talked about doing a comment or commenter of the week. So make sure to like, comment, subscribe to the videos. Some of them are going to be mean. Some of them are going to be insightful. All of these things. The one that stood out to me was from a couple days ago, Sacco STWWY. So I don't know if that's a place, but he said, Buffalo Plus drinking game. Remember to always please drink responsibly. Every time Dan says, quote, again, you take a drink. You're plastered by the 5-minute mark. I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And just so that Sacco knows, I will now be extremely self-conscious about every time I say again.
I think people forget that we sometimes, like, we're human and we do read the comments, and some of those comments are
awesome.
They hurt, honestly. I say at the same point or at the same time. I don't know. People
I say interesting a lot.
I do too. I do too. I try not to. It's so hard.
And you don't know it until it's over.
No, you don't know it until someone
points
calls,
it out.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, cool. I'll be self-conscious about that for the rest of my life. Thanks.
So thanks to Stacko, STWWY, for the first.
Again. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Again.
I need to find a comment.
Again.
We don't have to find it right now, but.
Yeah.
If there's also any ideas that you think would be fun for content, like around our channel, always be sure to leave a comment because we do read a lot of the comments as
yes.
well. Not every comment, but a lot of them.
And then one other thing I wanted to say. I feel like we need to do a better job of decorating our studio. So if anybody has any ideas or wants to submit something, you could send something in and we can make it as one of our like backdrops. We got it. We're still sprucing up the studio.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a work in progress. The tough thing is we've all been taking vacation because this is really the only time that we can. Because
it's just Jenna's world. We're all just living in it.
No. I'll have fun vacations coming up.
Yeah.
I'm going to like that comment by that guy.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, it is a good comment. It's funny. There's some other great comments.
Please always
drink
responsibly.
Yes, if you can. No, I'm kidding. Drink responsibly. Bet responsibly as well.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up here then. Thank you so much for joining us here on Buffalo Plus for Mike Catalana, who is on Grandpop duty. Dan Fates, I'm Jenna Cottrell. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe. And I'm adding share because if you want to share it with someone, a loved one that's a Bills fan, we would very much so appreciate that.
And obviously YouTube is for people mainly that want to watch it, but we are on all of the audio channels if you just want to throw it on in the car.
Yeah, honestly, that would be amazing.
You don't need to see our ugly mugs.
Yeah, we're probably way more palatable that way. So be sure to, if you do listen on a podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, please be sure to subscribe, though.
Yeah.
That does help us there as well. All right. I think that's it. Thanks for watching Buffalo Plus. We'll catch you next time here on Buffalo Plus. Nailed it.
Buffalo Plus, your interactive look at the week in football, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.